Now, the next point I'd like to make concerning the teaching on leading people to a faith-based relationship with Jesus has to do with, how do you teach someone to have faith in God? Here again, I'd like to share this scripture, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The first thing we need to understand is that the non-believer will never know Jesus without faith. They must have faith in order to believe. Our job, your job, my job, is to teach them to have faith by simply teaching them the Word of God. Now, that's why it's so important that we understand the Word of God ourselves. We need to have it in our mind and our spirit so that as we're talking with people, it can rise up and come out of our mouths. Because many times, a lot of what we say will fall to the ground and disappear. But the Word of God, when spoken in faith, will produce results like we can't imagine, like we saw with that young girl on the street corner. Isaiah 55:11 states, "So shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the manner for which I sent it." God's word will never return void. If we really believe that, we would sure use the Word of God a lot more. Let's take a look at that verse again. "So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth," from the Lord's mouth. As we speak the Word of God in faith, it's actually God speaking through to us to other people. And God says, "It shall not return to me empty or void." Just picture this for a minute. As you're speaking to a large group of people, and just try to imagine what's coming out of your mouth, just kind of going across the room and landing in people's spirits, in people's minds and their souls. And God says, as long as we share His word, that when it comes to the place that He desires, it will succeed and it will accomplish what God wants to accomplish. That's an amazing fact. And that has to do with all aspects of our life. So we need to first understand that the non-believer will never, ever know Jesus without faith, and they will never be able to have an understanding of faith in Jesus unless they hear the Word of God. So faith does not just accidentally happen for unbelievers. Look at Romans 10:14 and 15, which says, "How then shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Before they can believe, they must hear the Word of God. And they will not hear the Word of God unless you and I tell it to them. The enemy has done a wonderful job of trying to keep the Word of God out of people's minds and thoughts. And it's our job, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to go out there and preach the Word of God to as many people as will listen to us. So faith does not just accidentally happen for unbelievers. It has to occur through the obedience of God's people, sharing God's word with everybody that we can come in contact with. Number three, they hear the word of faith. Once they hear the word of faith, Romans 10:8, it becomes their responsibility. It is so simple because the Bible says, "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." People in this world are actually so close to becoming born again, all they have to do is act in faith on the Word of God. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. As we so teach, salvation is a gift, and it's by grace are we saved through faith. And faith is imparted as we share God's word. It says in Romans 10:13, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Our responsibility as believers here on this earth is to present God's word to people so that faith might be sparked within their very being, so that they might be able to have the faith as a mustard seed to just call out and say, Lord God, save me. As Romans 10:13 says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But they need the faith to believe that calling on the name of the Lord will save them. And that faith will only come as they are exposed to God's word. So I encourage you to read and study carefully Romans chapter 10. The whole chapter is about the word of faith and how close it is to everyone. Remember, in the mouth and in the heart. You see, it has to come out of our mouth, confession, to believe in Christ and believe in our heart. And it's God-given. God wants to give it to every person on this earth. The difference between the believer and non-believer is that faith remains dead in the non-believer. Our job is to preach the word of faith so that their faith can be resurrected. So everyone has the opportunity to be saved because God has placed faith in our mouth and heart. It just needs to be revived. Once we as the body of Christ understand this teaching, we'll see the kingdom of heaven grow by bounds. And it also teaches us the importance of confession and why we need to get people to actually repeat verses and repeat declarations of faith. In summary, it's so important that we as Christians learn His word, not just for our own growth, but for the growth of others. When that Hezekiah Israel was talking to me about their problem not being sin, but lack of faith, think about that for a minute. When you become a Christian, your life begins to change. As you grow in the Lord, sin falls off gradually, usually in most people, a little bit at a time. Why does that happen? Because our faith grows. The more we get into the Word of God, the more we begin to study His ways and His Word, the less we want to think about sinning, the less we end up sinning. That's the same way for believers as non-believers. Faith to overcome sin, whether you're a believer or a non-believer, comes by hearing and studying and speaking the Word of God. Now, I believe the best way to end this session is by sharing with you some of my favorite scriptures that I've used when I share the gospel with non-believers. Remember, you don't have to be a preacher or an evangelist to share God's word with others. Number one, John chapter 1, verse 1, and John chapter 1, verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Most people I talk to have no idea who Jesus really is. They do not realize that He was greater than a prophet or a teacher, greater than Muhammad or Gandhi. We need to let them know He was God in the flesh. So when you share the gospel with non-believers, make sure that they understand that Jesus was more than just a teacher. And this scripture helps you do that. Number two, another scripture that I use quite often is Revelations 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, will dine with him, and he with me. America is full of religious people who believe in God and believe in Jesus. They may confess faith in Jesus as the Son of God, but their particular church or background has never taught them that they could have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This scripture shows how personal our faith in Christ can be. I like to use an illustration something like this. You believe that George Bush is our president, don't you? And you know that he's from Texas and that he was elected very narrowly in the elections. And you know a little about him and what he's done with terrorism, but you don't know him. You don't know him personally. Well, it's the same with Jesus. You may know a lot about Jesus, but you don't know him personally. But he wants to get to know you personally. He wants to have dinner with you. So this scripture is very helpful in illustrating how we can have a relationship with Christ, not just a head knowledge belief system in him. Number three, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. In today's society, people are desperately looking for a way to bring peace to this earth. There's a large-scale effort to try to combine all the religions into one big happy family. People think it doesn't matter what religion you belong to as long as you believe in God. Well, this scripture is very powerful in showing others that it does matter what God they believe in. Another scripture, number four, is Isaiah 45:22. And it has to also do with the concept of one true God. And this is one of my favorites from Isaiah. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. Isaiah has many verses that reference the fact that there is only one true God. But this one is one of my favorites because it includes so many important issues that we need to cover when we speak with non-believers. Let's just take a brief look at this scripture by breaking it down in sections. Turn to me and be saved. This illustrates how we have to follow him in order to have salvation. Another part, all the ends of the earth. This one true God is not just for the Jewish people or Christians, but it's for all Americans, the Chinese, Russians, Iranians, Japanese, Mexicans, whoever. It's for everybody, all the ends of the earth. I am God. Today we need to know who is God. Will the real God please stand up? Well, he is and he does. And this is the true God. For I am God and there is no other. There is no other. Allah is not the real God, folks. Either is any other God that some people have made up in their own minds. Many times I talk with people and they think, well, whatever you think God is, that's okay. Some kind of cosmic wishy-washy concept of a deity. But the truth is, there is only one true God. So once again, I want you to understand that we are faced with a real battle concerning this issue. It's time for Christians to speak up about the one true God. And so it's important to have scriptures to back up what you're talking about. Number five, John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and might have it abundantly. This is a very important scripture because God is being blamed for a lot of bad things that are happening. Our society is full of young people who are very angry at God and blame him for such things as being sexually abused as a child, or their parents getting divorced when they were young, or their best friend committing suicide. The list could go on, but our job, yes, your job as well as mine, is to get the truth out. We must let them know, we must let the world know who is responsible for all the bad things that are happening. Now, I don't use this scripture to help people make excuses for their behavior. Rather, we need to use this scripture with those who have been greatly hurt by life's tragedies. Number six, another scripture that I often use is 1 John 5:13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, I've been teaching you the importance of sharing scriptures with non-believers. But what can you do when they say to you, "I don't believe in the Bible"? The first thing you ought to do is to correct their misconceived ideas on what the Bible says. Most people, not all, but most people do not have a clue on what the Bible says, even when they tell you they don't believe in the Bible. Your job then becomes a little different. You must, in a nice way, show them that they do not know what they're really talking about. Let me give you an example. Well, I can respect your wish not to believe in the Bible, but can I ask you just one question? What do you think the Bible says is the way to get to heaven? Now, most people will begin to see for themselves that they don't know exactly what they're talking about. Eventually, they will give you some kind of works answer, such as, well, the Bible basically tells us that we need to love our neighbor as ourselves or keep the Ten Commandments. And they may hem and haw a little bit, but generally they'll end up with some kind of works answer. And at the point of them stopping, you can tell them that that's not what the Bible says is the way to get to heaven. And you can ask them, "Would you like to know what the Bible says is the way to get to heaven?" At this point, they may be embarrassed or even a little angry, but try to diffuse their anger with something like, "Let me share with you what the Bible says is the way to heaven." Then you can make up your mind on whether you should believe it or not. Now, if you can get to this point, you'll have an open door for sharing as many scriptures as you want, and thus you'll be planting seeds of faith by using God's Word. Now, I've just shared with you a few scriptures, and as you know, there are thousands more. Do you have some favorites? Write to me or email me and share with me some of your experiences. I'd love to hear from you. And remember, how do you teach someone to have faith in God? You teach them God's Word.